The following programming is sponsored by BFG LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Everyone, hey, I know y'all like, why y'all so many hey's? I'll tell you why, because last time we broadcast on Conversation Unplugged, we made an announcement that said that that last broadcast would be actually our last broadcast. And so after the broadcast, we had a very special meeting, and we got a $313,000 million contract, and so then we ended up signing and coming back on the air. Amen. No, let me tell you, this always happens. It always happens when I'm at a point where I say that's it. A blessing comes around the corner that just keeps us on the air. And so, you know, by his grace, you know, we're here. Amen. And so, and let me just say this as we get ready to get into the subject. You know, Dr. Akin, Bishop Akin, and Pastor Johnson, you know those certain type of retail stores, they always send you these sales paper. We getting ready to close. Come buy this furniture. Come buy that furniture. And they know they wasn't closing. No, this wasn't that type of party. We really thought that we would, that this would be our last broadcast. And we're back on WWDB, 860 AM in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection with the 1-0 Eagles. How you doing, Pastor Johnson? I just had to throw that and had to just send the mic to you. How you doing, man? How you doing, 1-0 Eagles? How you doing, man?
I am doing great from the 1-0 Vikings.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Bishop Akins, take the mic. Hey, Bishop. Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on, Bishop?
Hey, man. Everything is good. Doing all right.
Good.
And just enjoying the fall time and the season of education.
We're good. Well, listen, there is an announcement. We were starting our new broadcast, you know, this being year number 4, with our new host, Minister Ebony Robinson. The reason why Minister Ebony Robinson is not with us, keep her in your prayers. She contracted some food poisoning. And so literally she's in the emergency room as we are speaking and really was going to be on the air with us. So let's keep Minister Ebony Robinson in our prayers. And we look forward for her to be a part of Conversation Unplugged as a co-host next week. She's been behind the scene with the virtual in the virtual space and things of that nature. So let's keep her in prayer. I am. Last time I was here, I was 1 year. I increased in 1 year in age as of this past Monday. And I know, Bishop, you're increasing in a couple of days. So that means birthdays when you are younger, you tell your age. When you get in a little bit older, you just say we increase in years. Amen. So happy early birthday, right, man. And before we go on, I do have to say this.
Happy birthday, you too.
Yeah, I have to say this. Today is my youngest daughter, Kayla Nichelle Weathers. Today is her birthday. So I want to give a shout out to Kayla Nichelle Weathers. So all that being said, you know, a lot of platitudes and all that other thing. Let's get into the heart of the show today. We were very intentional. There was a debate that took place on September the 10th between former President Donald Trump as well as current Vice President Kamala Harris. And we wanted to be intentional today because we know that for the past few days that people would be talking about the debate. And sometimes when you focus on one particular subject, then you miss other subjects that we need to talk about. So on this day, instead of talking about the debate, which there's a lot to talk about with the debate, we're not trying to avoid it or run away from it. We don't want this story to get out of hand as well. So this past Sunday, as everybody's celebrating the return of football, you know, return to football. Everybody's excited. Nostalgia's going, watching, you know, the NFL play in South America. Now you come to Sunday and you're watching your favorite teams or your adversarial teams. And I say adversary, those are teams that you root against. For me, like the Vikings, the adversarial teams and everything, teams that you root against. And then a story that's burning in the headways is about Tyreek Hill. And it says that Tyreek Hill was driving on Sunday to his game and was pulled over by the Miami Police Department. I believe it was Miami Police Department for a speeding violation. They said he was going 20 miles over the speed limit, 20 miles per hour over the speed limit. But then what took place afterwards is very chilling. And it also speaks of being a black person in America. And let me just say for the record, I did watch part of the video. I would say a small remote of contributory negligence on Tyreek Hill because the way he addressed the police officer, but even the way he addressed the police officer, don't knock on my window or anything like that, did not justify the treatment that he got being dragged out of the car and knee to the back, et cetera. And so before I go any further, because I've been doing a lot of talking in the past 3 minutes and everything, Pastor Robert Johnson and then Bishop Dr. Akin, tell me your thoughts about one. Did you want Pastor Johnson and then Bishop Akin? Did you see the video, the body cam footage of Tyreek Hill, and share with me your thoughts, Pastor Johnson?
Yeah, I saw the body cam footage from the police officer's perspective, but then I also did see the camera footage from the bystander's perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I also heard the comments made by Tyreek Hill after the aftermath of what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at it from what we saw, just from the news outlets, it seemed as though that, again, we had another African-American man having excessive force used on him by the Miami-Dade Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what chilled me was not the fact of what they did also to Tyreek Hill, but what they did to Calais Campbell and the other gentleman who came up to look to see if their teammate was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an unhinged police officer.
Yes.
And I believe that the force used was in proportionate to the situation. And again, it is one of those things where you have a $400,000 car, you don't want nobody tapping on your window. And no matter what Tyreek Hill said, we still have this thing called freedom of speech in America.
Supposed to.
And if he was disrespectful, it's still his right to be disrespectful, but it doesn't give the officer right to trample on his right just because he doesn't like what he says. And if this had been a person of another color, another ethnicity, I wonder if the amount of force that was used on Tyreek Hill would have been used.
Wow. Wow, that is a great assessment. Bishop, your thoughts?
Yeah, I did. I saw footage from the different camera angles. Definitely saw some of the commentary afterwards and questioning. It is one of those senseless, still imbalanced situations that you find. You know, just again, the oppressor, we still had to put it in those contexts, and the oppressed in a sense. It is totally, totally and have been uncalled for.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when you're in those situations, again, nobody knows exactly how they'll respond. I know that if there was a different, I would say, different color involved, predominantly, of course, white. It may have been a different, definitely have been a different response to that. I mean, it's but however, Tyreek did say that he could have handled it better. Regardless, he did mention that. You know, in the aftermath of the discussions that was going on, you know, he did say that he has some police officers in his family as well, and he knows that there's some things that happen, but there are some things that's uncalled for. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have, again, an imbalance there. You had the police officers that were there. You have an African-American male. You have someone who, again, is a sports, you know, icon, I would say, that from that perspective, someone that is known, who is now in a place and in the news media for something that the police officers have done. I mean, there's a totally disrespect, seriously. And I'm not just saying that. It's a disrespect when you're talking about, you know, I do know that there's some things that Tyreek did do. I mean, it's mentioned, of course, of his speeding. It's mentioned about they, you know, pulled him over for a traffic violation. However, I agree with Pastor Johnson that there's some things that's uncalled for. And you have to learn how to de-escalate some things than to escalate. And there's somebody that has to stand flat-footed and be the example that needs to, you know, that they need to be. And listen, and let me say it this way. Mm-hmm. All of the media exposure that the police have had over the past 10 years or so.
Right.
When you get to a point where this becomes now, it's like, come on now. You know that there's going to have to be a highlight somewhere. I mean, we know what the time it is. We know where we are. And then it has to be, you know, walk softly. Walk softly.
Yes.
That's all. It just doesn't make sense to me.
So, and I'm glad we did research on this. And praise God to you, Minister Ebony Griffin Robinson. I see you watching us even in the midst of you, you know, being in an emergency room. You know, that shows your dedication and your commitment. So it's a few things that bothered me. I didn't watch, wasn't able to see the whole video, but I saw parts of it. And so in the beginning, one of the problems that I have is the death of objectivity and the increase of subjectivity. You follow me? Because at this particular point, it's all based on how I feel at the moment instead of being objective so I can be able to observe the situation without any polluted filters, if that makes any sense. And so when the police officer came to Tyreek Hill and knocked on his window and he said, "Don't knock on my window like that," you know, that situation was not right. You know what I mean? The police officer knocks on your window, he pulls you over. He's the law. You are supposed to be obedient to the law. The officer comes and tells you to basically knock on your window, just bring your window down. But that did not, let me say this, that did not justify the treatment that he got. You follow me? So here's the problem that I have. So he was not dragged out of his car because he refused to give up his driver's license, his registration, or his insurance card. Let me say this again. He didn't get pulled out of the car because he refused to give up his driver's license, his registration, and his insurance card. After he gave them the driver's license, the registration, and the insurance card, he winded his window up, and then the police officer subjectively basically says, please put your window down. I only say please, you know, told him to keep his window down. And I saw that and I said, as many times have I got pulled over by police officers for speeding or maybe something might have been matter with my registration and things of that nature. How many times have I given my driver's license, my registration, and my insurance card over to the police officer and just wind my window up? No problem. You follow me? Whether somebody got tinted windows or non-tinted windows, it doesn't matter. That's where the subjective mindset come into play because you're already agitated over the fact that he said something to you that offended you. Don't knock on my window like that. So now it's a battle of power and everything. I'm going to show you that I got more power over you, which now did not cause the reason for them to drag him out of a car for a felony or misdemeanor, etc. It was a traffic violation. The only thing he did was wind up his window, and you got mad because he justifiably put up his window, what didn't show no drug activity, no gun activity, nothing of that nature, nothing illegal you suspected of happening in the car. But because he put up his window and it wasn't to your liking, now you are out of control. And let me just say this for the record as we get ready to take a station break here. All police officers isn't bad. Because somebody will look at this and say, we're bashing the police. We're not bashing the police. But what we are doing is exposing the minority of bad officers that make it good, that make it bad for the majority of good officers that's good. There was no justification for them to do what they did by pulling him out, knee on the back, etc. That made no sense. All that being said, let's take a 30-second station break conversation unplug on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care. We're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Hey, Bishop, and not Bishop, hey, Pastor Johnson. I got a taste of some barbecue. You know which one of which is a great place to get some barbecue in the city of Philadelphia? Should I ask you or should I ask Bishop Aiken? Who should I ask?
You know, there is this place. Oh man, Bishop, what's the name of that place?
What's the name of that place you can get the best barbecue in Philadelphia? And yeah. Tell us about the place you can get the best barbecue in Philadelphia.
Well, I do that. It's funny. I was going to have a announcement that I will be making, and I'll be putting it on social media. We will be moving, which is good. I would say expanding, moving from our current location where we are, getting some things together, moving closer to North Philly. But 52nd and Logan Street Barbecue, the name most likely will be changed to Main Strip Barbecue because we want to franchise in other places. They franchise it in Camden or wherever we're at. So, because every place we go has a main strip, and so I think the importance to know that cornbread is always good, cabbage, mac and cheese, string beans, and some ribs, pork, beef. You know, barbecue. So we have gotten the bug,
right,
of the South.
And wow.
So we're gonna make sure that everything else happening. So stand still, wait to see exactly where we're going, but we're headed to North Philly for our new place and new location. And so you'll hear more.
So will it be in West Philly and North Philly, or are you moving to North Philly?
We're gonna move to North Philly, closer to where my church is.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's a smart move. So right now, the best barbecue is at 52nd and Locust, right? In the city of Philadelphia. And pretty soon it's gonna be moving to North Philly. So best barbecue travel.
That's right.
So what you're saying is you got the mobile best barbecue.
That's right.
You got the mobile best barbecue. All right.
Traveling.
I can't wait for the food truck. I can't wait for the food truck.
Listen, that's coming too.
I know it is.
I got pictures of the truck.
Right. I know it is.
So I just got to ask one question. I just
got
to ask one question. I'm going to get back to the seriousness of the show. How much can I get for one wing, one rib? I ain't talking about a rack. I'm talking about Chris Rock's character. I'm going to get you, sucker. How much can I get for one rib?
So, uh-huh. That's right.
Yeah.
How much for one rib?
Yeah.
He said. Hey.
Nobody want one wing.
Yeah, one
that's
wing.
The way the Eagles fly.
That's right.
Oh, you know what? Yo, oh man, I'm great. I'm gonna have the producer drop you off. That's it. No more questions for Pastor Johnson. Always a hater in here. So hey, let's get back on course where we lose our listeners and our watches in the virtual space. So I have to ask a question, and I haven't seen much, right? The Miami Dolphins response to what happened to Tyreek Hill was rapid and condemnatory, I think is that's the right word to use. And although they respect the Miami-Dade Police Department, they also was not happy with the way their player, professional NFL player, was treated. So here's the question. What was the response of the players of the Miami Dolphins? Because that has been reported. But then what has been the responses of the players throughout the NFL, AFC and NFC, in regards to Tyreek Hill? So let's talk about one. How has his team responded? But how has those who play in the NFL with him responded to his situation? Who wants to start? Bishop?
Well, I did see something from the NFL Players Association.
Good. Okay.
That did condemn that and what happened. The response has been slow to come out because of the games, and as it comes out, there have been different responses. But the key has been, I want to know if the response from the Miami Dolphins is from a standpoint of concern of him or concern that he just had knee surgery and they don't want him out. If I could go back real quickly.
Sure.
I think that what Tyreek Hill did rubbing out his window. But I also want to say this, and it's not to make excuses for the officer, but once you roll that window back up, they do not know whether you have a firearm. They don't know what's behind the tinted windows of the car. And the safest thing, because I did talk to two of my fraternity brothers who are law enforcement, one's FBI, and the other's the lieutenant at another agency. And they said pulling him out of the car would have been for officer safety. However, it was an ego thing the way they pulled him out of the car. It was aggressive. If they asked him to step out of the car and he would have stepped out of the car, they would have then said, okay, I want to pat you down for officer safety because I don't know what's in your car. But they aggressively pulled him out of the car as if he had committed a felony.
That's right.
And the knee on his back is illegal. That's illegal since George Floyd days, mm-hmm. knee on the back, knee on the neck.
Right.
And the key is, where was the other officer's right or responsibility to intervene and de-escalate?
So
that is my question.
So pastoring police officers, right, in three settings, the one commonality I know, well, I won't say I know, just to say from my experience, even with conversations and other experiences as well. Also, Minister Ebony responded to say he was offended and acted on it. Congratulations, Bishop. Yeah, thank you, Minister Ebony. Yeah, the one thing that the commonality, not commonality, but the one thing I have noticed with a certain segment of police officers is they have a fraternity and they have a brotherhood and sisterhood. And it doesn't matter how wrong that police officer is, chances are they're not going to turn against each other. And so they talk about the no snitch policy within the African-American community, which is really not a no snitch policy. It's like, can I be protected if I tell what's going on in certain aspect in the police department? Not all, but from a few. And I don't want to speak like I'm a subject matter expert in this area, but with the few police officers that I have maybe interacted with who I may have pastored, there's this culture within the police department or certain segments of the police department is that we will not tell on each other, even if they're wrong. Hey, Bishop.
Yeah, I think that it was an array of different responses. Some of his teammates said they didn't know how they would feel because they have not been in that position. Others that was there spoke about the disdain and mm-hmm. and just the horrific nature and what occurred, what happened. It's something to know that even one of his teammates came and he was also handcuffed. I think we forget about that as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. That there was somebody that did come in to try to, I think Campbell, I forgot his last name, but I think Campbell was the one that you know, was there. He also got handcuffed. And so, you know, just the response mm-hmm. and the remembrance of the things that occurred, you know, it's just, again, one of those senseless things. It is a travesty.
Right.
And it is something that I believe that the coaching staff, those that actually observed it, see it, it's just a constant reminder.
Right.
Of, you know, where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think you have taken 2 steps forward, 3 steps forward, that's the amount of steps that you've actually taken backwards. Plus, and I think that the reality of it is when you really look at it, and we're in discussion and conversation, that's something we cannot sweep under the rug. And we do have to keep in the forefront, you know, of our Black and brown individuals, the race that come around, that there's still a certain way that we have to teach our young African-American and, again, Black and brown people exactly how they should respond to the police officers. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something also that has to be noted and something that I know that we have to really start discussing. What do we do? You know, how do we handle it?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you explained to your nephew? How many times you explained to your son? How many times you explained to those that are of younger descent that you're mentoring or speaking to? You know, what to do when the police stops you.
Right.
Those conversation, you know, really needs to be had. I mean, what do you do? How do you respond? We're still on unleveled playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Still got to realize that. We still have to, again, take your hands, you know, put it in a place that can be seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got to place it on the dashboard, place it on the dashboard. Let the officer know, listen, this is what I'm doing. I am going into my pocket and I'm getting my information out, or I'm reaching for something, because these are still some of the steps and information when you're talking to how do you handle the police so you can de-escalate something. And so, and it's a shame that we have to do it, but these are the times that we're still in.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, our son, when I say our son, because my wife is listening, you know, our son, he's in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And so he is a graduate assistant at McNeese State University. And he calls my wife and I, we're both on the phone. And he says, I just want to let you know that I was followed by a police officer. He wasn't in plain clothes. He was riding, you know, the bike and everything. And he followed me as I drove into the house. That's the house that he's renting. And then turned around and pursued the area like he was a criminal. And it unnerved my son, because he's seen on TV George Floyd and all others. And he's in Louisiana, nothing against Louisiana. He's not close to home. And there's this fear that if this police officer pull me over and don't like what I say, or don't like what I do, or don't like how I react, then my life is on the line. And nobody in a country where you're free should ever have to feel terrorized that if they are pulled over, that they may not make it out of the situation alive. Let's do this. Let's go on a 30-second station break on Conversation and Plug.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, I said my cousin just, Richard Spencer just, texting, and
sure,
he's listening on the air, and he mentioned, listen, he said, roll all your windows down.
Mm-hmm.
That's first and foremost. And then he said, no sudden moves.
Hmm.
Those are things that we have to remember. But go ahead. He mentioned that, so I wanted to make sure that we recognize it.
Before we go on a station break, let me add to that. This is a former church member told me this, which worked out to my advantage, not vantage, but it helped de-escalate a situation that I got pulled over for speeding, like coming from a service a while back in the springtime. And it was at nighttime on the highway. And I never forget, he told me that if you're ever, and he's a former police officer, he said, again, a former member, he said, if you are ever pulled over by the police officer at night, turn the inside lights on of your, turn the lights on inside your car as they see you getting your registration, your driver's license, and your insurance card, he told me, he said, that helps de-escalate the situation. Help de-escalate the situation.
That's right.
Let's go on a station break, conversation and plug on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Let's go on our 30-second station break at this time. Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to attain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care. Welcome back. Conversation Unplugged, WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Major announcement, starting next week on Friday, we will be launching our podcast series. I get some claps out there. Our podcast series, all right? And on our podcast series, thank you. We'll be on Instagram and Facebook, and we're also pushing to get on Spotify. We're going to be promoting and highlighting our YouTube channel and everything. And we've already recorded our first podcast interview with Eddie Good from Virginia State University. We were classmates, and he has a book called Audacity. And I'll share more about that interview next week as we build up towards the podcast and our podcast series. I'm not going to announce the series until we actually get close to it, because somehow along the line from this experience in radio, some people, they hear it and then they'll run before you, and then either will adjust the language of the series, or they'll try to take the title and make it theirs. We call it in the academic world plagiarism. In hip hop back in the 80s, we call it perpetrating a fraud. So we don't want no perpetrating a fraud, or we don't want no plagiarism taking place. But we will announce next week, you know, the date, the time when this podcast can be viewed. And it's going to be a great interview. Tell me about it, Bishop. You was there. It's going to be a great interview.
Pastor Johnson.
Pastor Johnson, he had an event at his church, but I really saw him on TV with the Minnesota Vikings, but he didn't want to tell me. So anyway, that's why Pastor Johnson wasn't there. Definitely. And Pastor Johnson, you got, when are your podcasts launching?
It's launching in October.
In October.
I'll have more information.
Good. Because we definitely want to highlight.
I do have an announcement.
Sure.
That's going to happen November the 2nd. This is just information. I'm launching and have launched KMA Consultants Leadership Conference that are happening on the 2nd. So I want to make sure that we have any entrepreneurs, leaders, and CEOs that have companies and organizations want to come and to gather and get information of how to bridge that gap, making sure that you have some sustainability with your organization and your leadership, executive leadership teams, optimizing again, not only strategic planning, but maintaining growth, revenue streams, and those things like that are important. And so on Saturday, November the 2nd, was going to be the leadership conference of 2024. So anyone that is operating a business or want to move into the area of entrepreneurship and those things like that. So I'll be pouring into that, and we'll have some networking opportunities to have as well.
Good.
Just want to kind of put that out there.
Good. Congratulations. So let's get back to this interview here, Tyreek Hill. So one question that was asked was, how did the teammates respond? And then, has there been any other colleagues besides the NFL union or whatever, not whatever, I don't think I have the right pronunciation of the title, but has there been any like feedback from NFL colleagues, in NFL team players, not teammates, NFL football players playing football in the NFL? Have you heard any of the colleagues, you know, denounce what happened or raise concerns about it?
I heard a couple of things on ESPN that they were interviewing a couple of players and asking them their reaction to it, and of course, you know, the whole thing came back to this one man by the name of Colin Kaepernick, who brought this up and lost his position and lost his job and was saying that the treatment of African Americans by the police was heavy-handed, uneven, and criminal. And we had people like Jay-Z and others who said that the time for kneeling was over. We're past the time for kneeling. But now we have a guy, we have Tyreek Hill, who reminds us that the words of Colin Kaepernick still ring true today.
Mm-hmm.
And because Tyreek Hill has the forum, and he is that popular and that famous, what happens in North Philly? When mm-hmm. the police pull us over and pull us out of the car. What happens in South Philly, in Baltimore,
yes, sir.
In Washington,
mm-hmm.
in L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when there are no cameras and we are not a Tyreek Hill? I must say this real quickly. I need to commend the Miami-Dade Police Department for swiftly acting and putting this officer on administrative leave pending an investigation.
Yeah.
Because usually if it was another police department, they might have said, we have no wrongdoing. It's business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but I must commend the chief of police there for doing that at least.
So here's the question, though, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, Bishop. You raise a good point. If it wasn't Tyreek Hill and if it wasn't captured by cell phone cameras and the fact of his stature and the fact that he is a professional NFL player, would that officer have been placed on administrative leave? Silence speaks a lot. Hard to say.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
Would we have a situation where the airman who just got killed by the police officer by answering his door?
And is that DC?
Or Sonya Massey.
Okay.
Who just got killed by a police officer who shot her point blankly in the face over some hot water.
Yeah.
If we don't have these things documented, even when they are documented, justice does not always get served.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've all had the discussion. I've had it with my son. Keep your hands on the steering wheel, pull down your window.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Just make it home safe.
But
sometimes when we do the right things, we don't make it home safe. And there's an intrinsic bias in America, in American policing against black and brown people. Because they have already had a predisposition of who we are.
Subjective.
Whether we're Tyreek Hill, whether we're Kevin Aiken, whether we're Robert Johnson, whether we're Wayne Weathers. The only thing that they see is the color of our skin and a potential threat. Because that is where it has been conditioned. And not to bring politics in it, but when we had Donald Trump in office, he normalized that behavior. And made it easier for people to act upon their biases.
You're right.
And even in the debate ring, what did he do? He weaponized immigrants.
Again.
Yeah.
Black and brown folk.
Again.
So that's what bothers me.
And I would say
here's the irony of it. And I'm going to paint a picture very quickly. Black man walking in a store, being a, you know, suspect because of what he looks like. He has clothes on that, you know, looks like somebody that's going to do something. Followed in the store, picks up something off the shelf, goes to get ready to walk out of the store. Then the security person that's looking at him follows him in the store or her because of what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
Let's change this narrative a little bit. Police officer, bold, got cameras on, does whatever they want to do, has whatever authority they believe they're walking in, and with the boldness does whatever, breaks whatever laws, does what anything they need to do, and is now justified.
Mm-hmm.
There's an imbalance. There's an imbalance that we have to see. We have to understand that. How can you, even with body cam on, still act in a way that you do not care? It just does not make sense. And that's just like a person who sees a police officer in a store, looks at the police officer, and then grabs the item and put it in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I'm that bold to do this. Here you got police officers that say, I'm going to pull somebody out their car. You see the body cam. I'm going to put my knee in their back or on their neck or wherever it is. And with the body cam, as guilty as all guilty can be, and still says, I'm innocent. Man, it just does not make any sense at all. That's senseless.
Bishop, it
you have a body cam.
It doesn't.
It's a body cam. You are guilty.
But you know, Bishop, the reason why
What are you doing?
They know they can get away with it. They know they can get away with it.
It's a shame, man.
It's a shame. They know they can get away with it. They know when people know that there's no consequences for their action, or when people know that there's inaction because of their action, and there will be no consequences of their inaction because of inaction, they continue to get away with it because of the inaction. And please don't ask me to repeat that. But anyway,
listen,
yeah,
listen. The young lady called the police officer to come to her house. They come to her house. They have the body cam on. They shoot her in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Sign your message.
Yes. It's like the body cam is showing you every single thing happening. It's like, listen, are you kidding me? Are you crazy?
Do you know?
It's like.
Yeah, I'm not catching. For those who don't know the Black experience with police, right? They don't know. And I speak as a 57-year-old who's been walking this earth 57 years, right? They don't know the cringe.
Just told your age.
I know, that's okay. Hey, I'm proud to say it because there's some that didn't make it, you know? I told people I'm 27.3X.
Right.
Yeah, I guess when you get I'm 27.
Okay,
yeah, 27.3X. And we can testify to this, and there won't be a 30-second station break. You don't know how we tremble when we see a police officer, or not tremble, maybe a bad word, how we get uncomfortable when a police officer is following us from behind. That police officer could be just driving, but in our heads, right, we don't know what that officer is up to. We don't know if they just going to pull us over to pull us over. And so now we're like, you know, how do I maneuver out of this? Or now we start to think, how do I de-escalate the situation in the event that someone tries to escalate it? I always tell the story since I've been on the air. I've been doing it year after year. The time I'm near, what's that church? Second Baptist Church in Germantown. I just got elected as moderator. It is a Thursday. It was either Wednesday or Thursday night. And leave Jenkintown to go to, I believe that was Mount Olivet Baptist Church in West Philadelphia, so I can meet with the finance ministry as we get ready to make this transition as I became moderator. And the cop pulls me over, and there was no justification for him to pull me over. And he says, you ran a stop sign. And so I'm like, yo, there is no stop sign. I made the left on the traffic light. He didn't tell me where I made the, what stop sign I ran. So I was like, okay, I see you want an argument. You want a debate. You're not going to get it. I says, whatever. Here's my driver's license. Here's my insurance card. And here is my registration. And so again, he has his hand on his pistol as he's talking to me, right? It's at night. He's trying to say I ran a stop sign. And I did not run no stop sign. But he's talking to me with his hand on his pistol. The windows is down. And then he looks at me and says, do you have a gun in the car? And I'm like, man, that's the dumbest question you could ever ask. Because if I did have one with you having your hand on the gun, chances of me telling you is going to be slim to none. And that's when I played the pastor's card. I was like, no, I don't have a gun. I'm a pastor. Hell, me pastors don't carry guns, but I said that to de-escalate the situation. And then that's when he was a Hispanic cop on my right side. Then I'm waiting for him to come back with my license and my registration and my insurance card. And then to my surprise, there's a Caucasian cop who comes to on my left side, which is the driver's side, and then says, we're going to let you go. You did run the stop sign, but we're going to let you go. He didn't say we're giving you a warning or anything like that. You did run the stop sign, but we're going to let you go.
A shame.
Yeah. How many Tyreek Hills never had the opportunity to have a camera video for them? How many Tyreek Hills don't get the media attention that he got? And then the other question that needs to be raised is power and wealth. You got me? Power and wealth. How can this black guy, and these wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't the initial cop wasn't Caucasian. He was, sounded like he was Hispanic. I could be wrong. Huh?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
He was Hispanic.
Yeah. So it's an abuse. See, abuse of power doesn't come just with one particular race. Abuse of power in the police force. Abuse of power in the police department is very integrated.
Yes. You know, the bad part about this is, And I forget, maybe y'all gentlemen can refresh my memory. The young man who got beaten to death outside of his mother's house by the black police officers that let him lay there and die.
Recently.
It's so many that we can't even keep count.
I think that was Memphis, Tennessee.
But I think the first thing that we got to realize, if I can go back and give our audience a bit of history. Policing started with slave catchers.
That's right.
Policing started with slave catchers.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, if you want to go a little bit further, what we did is we need to thank, and this is tongue in cheek, we need to thank Rodney King and his beating, because that was the first televised beating we had of police officers beating a black man in America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even though everybody was found not guilty, it was an initial spark that lit the long wick of justice, if you will, for African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until, and then it began from there, where people were saying that we're fired up and we're not going to take it anymore. And it's not too much of the traffic stops. It's so that we have to be so cognizant of the fact that some police officers are afraid of us because of what their preconceived notions are of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that they also have a situation where racism in America is still real.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I can get pulled over by a police officer in the driveway of my own church.
Wow.
In the driveway of my own church. Because I'm moving my boxes in. And the three lines that we hear is, you fit the description.
Yep.
We got a call. We got a call. You fit the descriptions. And where are you traveling today?
Yeah. Oh, put a pause right there. That happened to my son before he moved to Louisiana. He's coming back from the gym to work out. He's going to, his routine was, he was at the time we were working at, I'm not going to put the companies out there, but he would get up in the morning, early in the morning, he would go work out, and then there was a smoothie place that he would go to get his smoothie. And then one day he gets pulled over by a police officer because he has tinted windows. And mind you, he didn't get the tinted windows. The car came with tinted windows. And I remember when he got the car, paid cash for it. He worked hard for it. Well, blew the check, that is. He worked hard for it, right? And he wanted to make sure that he didn't go in debt with an auto loan, that he saved up his money and bought the car. I remember telling him, because you got tinted windows, you're going to have problems. Fast forward, he's pulled over, and the officer didn't tell him what's the violation. The thing was, where are you coming from and where are you going? That's what it was. Where are you coming from and where are you going?
Wow.
Yeah. So
I think Dr. Weathers, Bishop Aiken, I the thing that we need to tell our viewers and those who are listening to us is that your primary goal in any traffic stop, being a person of color, is to make it home safe.
Yes,
that's right.
And it means that sometimes, well, all the time, The place to argue is not at the curbside. Mm-hmm. The place to have your outrage is not at the curbside. It's in the courtroom.
Yep.
Live long enough to get to court. Live long enough to tell your story. Tell your story. Don't be a statistic.
That's right.
Because I got news for you. There's always a police officer that has a taser, a Glock, and buddies
mm-hmm.
who can make your life or make your death that night.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Swallow your pride. Be the person that you know needs to get home to your family so that you can fight another day. That's right. Don't argue. Tyreek Hill should have rolled down his window, gave the man his stuff, and kept his window down. And then guess what? Live the fight like he did. He's alive. He's alive to fight. But how many of our brothers and sisters are, you know, Sandra Bland, you know, how many of our brothers and sisters are not alive because they wanted to have curbside justice and wound up having a funeral?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get ready to close out. We got about maybe 4 minutes left. This is deep and personal. It dredges up old wounds. Before we talk about the old wounds, my fraternity brother, William Brady, he says the following great topic, shaking my head. This happens too often. Facts. Wow. He said basically it's sad. And also he's just giving other thoughts as well. What do we do when there are other Tyreek Hills in our communities? What do we do to render justice for injustice? Because what Tyreek Hill encountered, folks would say, oh, well, only not you, Bishop, but it was justified because the only thing he had to do was wave that window down. And if he would have kept the window down, then he could have made it to the football game and all this other stuff. He ain't no better than nobody else. He can't get no handouts just because he's a football player. Only thing he had to do was have his window down. That's all he had to do. Just listen to the police officer. That's all he had to do. What's the flaw in that? And that's not directed to you, Bishop, because we know for a fact that people will justify the police actions, not focusing on what was not done right, but try to put the wrong on someone else.
It's the blame shift. It's blaming without taking ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to, you know, there has to be, and I'm going to use this terminology, a cease and assist.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be.
Yeah.
And the crazy part about it is there's a reversal thing that happened here.
Viral.
It's funny. The police officers usually say, you know, they usually come and they usually say, you know, come out with your hands up.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that the innocent bystander or someone who gets stopped by the police officer would have to change the tones and say, police officers, you need to come out with your hands up. Mm-hmm. You have the right to remain silent. I mean, there needs to be some leveraging here. We still in a place where there's unequal playing field.
Right.
And that's the area of equality and areas of equity.
Wow. So we have 30 seconds left as we get ready to wrap the show up. William Brady, my fraternity brother, says you can never say what you would do until it happens to you. Great subject. I don't know about you. Glad to be back. Glad to be back on WWDB 860 AM. Excited about the podcast. We're getting ready to launch. Very excited. Very excited.
Oh, yeah.
So for those who are listening, we're getting ready to unplug. And then God puts a breath in our body. We'll plug back in next week to unplug more conversations. There's a story I'm looking into, Bishop and Pastor Johnson and Minister Ebony. I'll talk to y'all later on today. It's a possible story for next week. All right. Take care and God bless. May heaven continue to smile upon you. Be blessed.
All right.
Conversation of love.